You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
And Lucas, when is the last time that you have eaten a piece of food?
I would say approximately 67 hours ago.
So Lucas has gone 67 hours without eating. He lost a bet to me. We arm wrestled. I won. Whoever lost had to not eat for 72 hours. So you're welcome. And there's health benefits too.
That is not accurate. I decided to do this myself. And I was like, hey, Sam, you want to do it with me? And you're like, I'm not tough enough to finish that challenge.
That is not true either. I did not want to do it, though. You're right. You didn't ask me, though. But Lucas is on a 70-hour water-only fast.
Yes.
How do you feel?
I feel pretty good. Yeah. I'm a little hungry, but I feel good. Feel light. Feel agile.
Wave up and down. Kind of a, like, have you been, like, down, up? Like,
the second day was the hardest. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm like, let's go. But probably because I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
But I've drank so much water. Like, this thing is 30 ounces. And I drink about 7 of them a day right now.
That's good for you. You should continue to do that even if you eat.
I think that's a little much, but
Shayner Gaynor's got his is done.
I saw that. I saw the Chipotle on his desk, only half eaten, probably because his stomach shrunk.
Yeah, so that's not what this episode's about, but that's just a fun way to enter. So Lucas is almost done with his water fast. Today we have an absolutely packed episode for you. We're going to be talking about some real estate stuff. We're going to get into self-managing rentals, pros and cons of those. We're going to talk about business. We're going to get into the business side of things and talk about our operating system for our company and whether you are a small business owner or just interested in the operations behind a company the size of ours, I think you'll find it interesting. Then the finance section is going to be on Dave Ramsey's 7 baby step program. We're just going to walk through, is that a good idea or not? And then the life one, we're talking about old Epstein, old freaking...
What's better, life than...
Yes, yes, topics. And then we're going to get into some riddles, which is always fun. And Lucas is going to lose at least 2 of them. True or false to me, would you rather, and then motivational. So that is a stacked episode. We talk business, we talk business, finance, real estate, and life, and that's what we're doing.
I love that, man. I'm super, super. I thought this went out. I don't hear it anymore in mine. Hello? Is it still there? We're still there.
I can hear you.
All right,
the mic's fine, so who cares about your ear?
Maybe it just fell out of the ear.
Yeah, the mic's fine, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, we'll have to edit that part out.
No, we're going to roll with it.
Let's roll with it.
Fuck it. All right, real estate. So if you are managing or if you're buying rental properties, you have 2 options mainly. There's some nuances we can get into, but let's keep it simple, Walls. So if you're buying rental properties, which everybody on here should do at some point in their life if they're looking for more financial security, you have 2 options. One would be to manage yourself, approve the tenant, move in the tenant, manage the tenant yourself. The other option would be to outsource and have somebody else do everything for you. Obviously, that comes with a cost. So we're going to break that down a little bit.
Yeah, I love this topic. And it, I think it's a good analogy for a lot of things that you're going to try in your life. So let's get into it, Sam.
When's the last time you shaved your beard as well? It's getting a little extra longer.
I would say longer than normal.
Well, another like an extra week or so?
No, probably another extra like 3 days.
You're just changing. Stop changing so much. I don't like change that much. Not drinking, you're not shaving, just do relax.
Not drinking.
Or not eating, you're not changing. Yeah. You're going to drink.
We're drinking
tonight. Oh, you're going to get so drunk tonight.
I know. We're going out to eat for my wife's birthday. Shout out Ashley. Happy birthday, babe. Going out to Mexican food, a place we've never been, but I got to get like a little base of food in my stomach before I go straight to the margarita.
Yeah, you're going to feel like shit tomorrow. You got to get a base of food in you. Okay, so managing your rental. So Lucas, kind of quickly, our story of managing rentals is at first we pretty much from the jump hired it out to Provident, I believe. I don't know if they're around anymore, but we hired it out to Provident. For a while they did okay job. I wouldn't say good or great, but okay. So then we decided to take it in-house there pretty quickly after growing a company there and blossomed into a pretty good-sized company now. But we have kind of done a little bit of both. And I know there are certain people that should self-manage probably and certain people that shouldn't.
Yeah, that's exactly how our story went. I've seen it go the other way where people start off managing on their own, then outsource, or people start off managing on their own and then continue managing up to 40, 50, 60
Dustin.
Dusty, and there's a gentleman in the group is going through that right now, too, in our community, Clint, mm-hmm. I believe, is his name. He has, like, 46 doors. He's like, man, I just don't think I'm – he's got half – he wants to bring it all in-house and build out the company – or build out a company. So he kind of saw some of the struggles that we saw with our third-party management, mm-hmm. and why we didn't love it as much. And one of those reasons is nobody's going to care about your assets like you care about your assets in my eyes.
No, I agree. So when you outsource property management, the pros of outsourcing, let's do that. And let's talk about the pros of insourcing. And then let's talk about the
pros. We'll talk about pros.
And then we'll talk about pros, which is our operating system. But so if you are outsourcing your property management, that means somebody else is approving tenants. That means somebody else is doing the background check, the credit check. They're doing the move-in. They're collecting rent, they're handling the maintenance logistics, and then they're moving the tenant out and refilling the tenant. So they take everything off your plate. Most charge like a month's rent plus 10-ish percent of how much you collect every single month. So let's say you rent the property for $2,000 a month. A lot of companies will charge $2,000 or maybe $1,000 to fill it, and then $200 a month after that. So it does cost, but the reason Lucas and I outsourced it first is because we didn't feel like we had the time or knowledge to properly property manage. I had a job that I traveled a little bit. Lucas had a job and we just were busy and we're like, we don't know how to approve tenants. We don't know how to do background checks. We don't have rent collection software. So we didn't have anything ourselves really or the time to learn it. So we outsourced it, and then we saw very quickly that most outsourced companies are not going to take care of the property or the tenant, honestly, because these are people that we care about in our units. It's not just, you know, people that are filling our units. They're our tenants. We care about them. We're landlords, not slumlords. So we did not feel like that property management took good enough care of our tenants or of our properties.
Yeah, I feel like we were just a little afraid at mm-hmm. first. Like, hey, we bought our first house. That was a big enough hurdle to get over for us. We're like, man, we can't do this. Like, mm-hmm. And I think a big part of that is just like the bad like aura or myths that are around being a landlord too. Like mm-hmm. those maintenance calls for a leaky toilet in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Like. And those are just myths, but those scared us off initially. And I think a lot of systems you can put in place if you bring the management in-house can eliminate those anyway.
Yeah.
But we did not know. So that's the way we started, was outsourced first.
Outsourced first. So the pros of that are they know the rules. There are like, or they should know, I guess, if you're I'm assuming you're going with a decent property management company. There are like certain laws, like fair federal housing laws, where you have to treat all tenants the same. You can't approve a tenant for a certain thing and then not the next one, or charge different things. So that kind of reason is another reason that scared us off, but that is a pro of a good property management company does know all the legalities that keep you out of legal trouble.
And there's a lot of damn paperwork involved with those legalities, and a property management company for the most part would have all those documents already, whereas you would probably have to go find them on the internet or find them from another property management company that's willing to share. So that documentation can be overwhelming at times.
Yeah, and it's changed a little bit, but another pro of outsourcing, because I definitely think outsourcing is right for some people. We'll get into that at the end of the section, Lucas. Yeah. But you used to like have to meet tenants at the property, and mm-hmm. you used to have to, you know, do a lot of different manual things. Now with technology, you know, used to have a property management software, a, you know, background check software, probably a lot of like actual written paperwork, and meet tenants at properties, prospective tenants. And now it's all can be done through property management software, the background check, the credit check, everything can be done. They can go look at the property via virtual lockboxes mm-hmm. that give them codes when they get in within range of kind of like a lockbox for realtors. So a Supra. So technology has made it easier. But for a while there, that was another one of the reasons why we outsourced it, because we didn't have time to do all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But technology has helped that.
It really has. Like mm-hmm. I was reading you know, just investing books and landlord books about, it's called Landlording on Autopilot. If you've ever read that book, it's pretty good, but it's not very relevant
anymore.
And mm-hmm. it wasn't that long ago. So it's crazy how fast that has changed and made property management and being a landlord that much more efficient.
Yes, especially to do it in-house, or it has made it more efficient for these property management companies to potentially charge less.
Yeah.
So those are kind of some pros. Can you think of any other pros of a property management company?
Of hiring it out? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the pros that I truly believe in is, you know, and we'll get into this, but it depends what part of the business that you want to focus your time on, which parts you enjoy. But if you're not focusing your time on property management, which can be a lot of time, especially as you build up properties, you are able to focus your time on building and scaling your business. So mm-hmm. going out and finding new deals, managing projects, going and finding money, lining up money for those other projects. So that's the type of part of the business that I love focusing on, is just the growth and scaling. And the day-to-day operations of the property management is not necessarily for me. So I would consider, if that's you, then I would say that's a pro as well.
Awesome. I like it. All right.
What about you? Any other pros?
I don't think so. I was thinking, like, Trevin, we know we have the little phones up on Instagram and TikTok and trying to get like us in a shot. The new desk is like half this width, so we're going to be close.
We're a little far now. Yeah. I can't even touch you.
That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. But we're going to be a lot closer, and you will be able to play footsie with me if you want in between. So
good.
Let's talk about the pros of managing in-house walls.
Yeah.
What are they?
I like the pros. I'm a believer in managing in-house from the jump. Just learning the process. I know it's a lot, like we just talked about, all that documentation, mm-hmm. all those laws.
It is easier now, though.
It is easier
now.
Even
when we started 8 years ago, years ago.
And so the biggest pro to me is you will learn that stuff. You don't have to be an expert by any means, but learn enough to follow the rules and have some property management experience, so you're able to, when you outsource, because I believe at some point you either outsource or build a property management company, one or the other, mm-hmm. Instead of just managing it yourself as a solopreneur. So when you outsource, you were able to speak the language of a property manager and manage them effectively, so you know when they are doing something that is not up to your standards, maybe you will know and recognize that and be able to help mitigate it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like one of those things, a similar analogy would be like doing some of the work yourself on rehab, so you know when people do it for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So you can be a good project manager.
And now this is property manager.
Or be an excellent salesperson before you can be a great sales manager. You got to, mm-hmm. you know, most times you got to
walk the walk and talk the talk.
Before you talk the talk, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we said that right, but yeah. I think that I agree, and I wasn't listening to every single thing you said.
Go
but
figure.
People have the, I wasn't even on my phone, I just was spacing. But so many people, if they manage themselves, there does come a point, and I think that's where you're getting to, that where they either have to start a company mm-hmm. or they have to hire it out. You're
right.
Not going to be just you managing 40, 50 rentals. That's tough.
Yeah.
So you'll know a little bit. So I like that.
Yeah.
It allows you to understand the process. And then we alluded to this a little bit earlier, that you are able to potentially save some money by managing it yourself.
Absolutely.
Property management companies cost with a $2,000 rent, which is, I think, pretty close to national average. I mean, with the lease up fees and the markups, it's costing you $300-ish a month, $400 mm-hmm. a month, that if you do it yourself, yes, it's your time, but you can make that, like, pay yourself $400 a month
yes.
rather than them a month.
I think that's the key. I think if you want to be full-time investing or real estate in some sort of way, being a property manager for your own properties is a great way to do that.
To pay yourself,
you can pay yourself that extra $300 a month. So $300-$400 a month, that's in addition to the cash flow that you're getting off the property.
Get 10 properties, that might be your salary.
That could be your salary right there if you are the property manager. But that's a great way to transition into a full-time real estate investing. But you will have to do the day-to-day operations and being a property manager, and it'll probably hinder your scaling of your portfolio a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're most likely going to, for at least a while, have that full-time job and be trying to do it all.
Yep.
What other pros do you think are doing it in-house?
Doing in-house, saving money, learning the business so you mm-hmm. can lead your management company, being able to go full-time quicker. I would say you're able to, it forces you to make relationships with contractors and vendors that
okay.
you normally wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And it also forces a lot of things. It also forces you to get dialed in or at least decent at bookkeeping and understanding where your money is.
You just get a better understanding of the overall business. And if you're going to scale this to a certain level, you will need those type of business understanding. So Lucas.
Yeah.
Do you think everybody that starts buying rental properties should manage in-house?
No, absolutely
not.
Why not? Well, I just feel like there's, you know, everybody has different goals when they start in real estate, and everybody has a different situation. So if you want to be 100% hands off, you're okay with maybe not cash flowing quite as much on a property. You'd rather save that. You'd rather trade that money for time freedom. Maybe you have a great W-2 job that gives you a lot of income, and you're just so someone like that, I feel like, should outsource immediately and forever, mm-hmm. personally.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, some of it can be personality based. So if you are a super organized person, you're structured, you're maybe a little bit lower on the empathy spectrum than others, I think that is potentially a better property manager. Like, you want to care about these people. But if you're, you know, not organized, and or you're kind of one of those bleeding hearts that you really believe that they're late on rent 8 months in a row because eight of their grandmas have died every single month, yeah. right at the beginning of, or their car breaks down, you know, eight times a month, or just all of these extra stories yeah. that people, you know, pull at your bleeding heart to get you to get to not pay rent. And it's a business. You need to collect rent or you'll go out of business. So
for sure.
Not everybody has the, I don't want to be, it's kind of an aggressive way to say it, but not everybody has the backbone to be a good
for
property
sure.
manager.
No, that's so true. I'd be a terrible property mm-hmm. manager. I'd give away the farm, but yes, that's why I don't do it. But if that is you, and you're a bleeding heart, which like I am, the way to get around that, there is ways to mitigate that, and you just got to follow the process, and the process is the bad guy, and you can't change the process.
No, legally you can't yes. change the process.
So you have to follow that process, and the process is the bad guy. You're not the bad guy,
but you're still gonna have those conversations where you're
yeah,
like, yeah, that's okay.
So that's conversations.
I would, most people, if they're willing to be somewhat organized and follow the process, I'd think it would behoove you to start out managing the properties yourselves. What
yeah,
do you think?
I
you
agree.
Have the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just learn the business that much faster, and then you'll understand when it's the right time to either build out a team of your own or you know, outsource the whole thing to allow you to free up time to scale.
And if you do it the right way, then it doesn't take 20 hours a month for
yeah.
one property, your first property, and you're not getting phone calls at 3 a.m. because of a leaky
for
toilet.
Sure.
That's like I've heard intelligent people say that, like, that's why I don't know, I'm going to battle my boy Taylor next week, but like, stock market, you don't have to change leaky toilets in the middle of the night. I don't know anybody that does that. That's not like a thing. People are sleeping at night. And so
that's what I do.
Yes, that's what I do. Tyler parties all night, but most people just sleep at night. But
he's 21. Give him a break.
Yes, that's true. But you don't need to go change a toilet in the middle of the night. Will you change a toilet, or would you maybe eventually? Yes, but it won't be in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
If you tell them to turn off the fucking water and go
yeah.
back to bed if they do call you, which they won't. Not going to happen.
Yeah, and there are true emergencies out there. They don't happen very often. You know what I mean?
Especially with one property, if you do things the right way.
For sure, for sure. I had another one, a pro of managing in-house and maybe building out a team. And if you get really good at it, you can create additional revenue by managing for other people as well.
Like
down
we're
the road.
Doing.
Exactly.
Not really. We're kind of revenue, not profit. We're kind of
yeah.
just
working
doing
on
it for
the,
a team. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. I like it. So that's our thoughts on self-managing your rental. So that was kind of fun.
It was fun.
What do you think? What is pros, Lucas?
Yeah, pros.
We're on to the business segment, in case you're wondering. Business segment brought to you by the Faster Freedom Newsletter. You just go to our website and you can probably sign up there, right? Or just DM me. I'll send you the newsletter. This is what this segment's brought to you by, the newsletter.
Nice. Love that.
Thank you.
We should have like a sponsor for each segment.
I'm going the rest of this episode. I'll probably forget next episode.
All right. So pros. Well, pros stands for Prosper Operating System. Not a perfect acronym, but that
close
is
enough.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about just like an operating system. And, you know, when people think of operating system, probably first things that pops in their head is like iPhone,
Apple.
Like iOS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just how the phone operates. And that's exactly what it is for business. It's how the business operates. Before we get to pros, we'll talk about an operating system that we're on in the past, mm-hmm. you know, because there's a lot of operating systems that, not a lot, but a handful that have been created for businesses to take their operating system, and no matter what type of business you have, you can implement the majority of that operating system in your business.
And
well,
for small businesses, mainly is what they're made for.
I would Yeah, yeah. The, like the ones that we know for sure.
I mean, but the ones we're referencing are for like 100 employees or under, kind of, or 500. Like that's not, true. Not for, you know, we're not talking about operating systems for Apple. I'm yeah. sure they have one.
But they probably have a proprietary one, I assume. Assume yeah.
so, yes.
But anyway, it's just a way to do things, a way to speak, language, way to do things, cadence of meetings, in a communication platform for your team and in the rest of your for your leadership team and the rest of your team as well, I would say.
Mm-hmm, for
any,
sure.
Any other ways to describe what an operating system is?
Nope, I don't think so. It's just a way to know, like, when we started, you're just like, yes, we're going to have our meeting, we're going to check in and do all this, but a good operating system is going to give you cadence of meetings, lengths of meetings, how often have bigger picture meetings, smaller picture meetings, how to communicate, how the organizational chart works. It just allows your business to operate and flow with some type of efficiency and some type of accountability.
And synergies, mm-hmm. right? So you're all speaking the same language, you're moving the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Coxswain.
Yeah, well, that's not part of it, but I do know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Sounds way dirtier than it is.
So some of the operating systems out there, I guess our favorite one that changed our business is a book called Traction.
Mm-hmm.
And that book explains the operating system called EOS, or Entrepreneurial Operating System. And if you have any sort of company between 1 and, you know, 50 people right now, I would highly recommend reading that book and implementing it into your business. Even if you implement 50% of it, it will change your business forever. Mm-hmm. So super cool book. Traction changed our lives, changed our business. But we started to kind of deviate away from it a little bit, just mm-hmm. the way we're structured here, and which kind of opened our eyes to maybe needing a new operating system. So we researched a few more, and then didn't love those either, so we decided to kind of create our own kind of in-house operating system based on what we believe and how our businesses operate.
Yeah, so basically we've been using Traction for a while. It's very documented and regimented, and we had been tweaking it for probably about a year to fit our business model, because it's made and explained for one business and one business model. We have four separate companies that all kind of flow together, but all act on their own, that have all meet together, that have board of, you know, executive team and things like that. So it's, our business is a little bit unique, so we needed a unique operating system. So we basically kind of took all the books we read, from Good to Great to The One Thing to EOS, the Traction book, to everything, and kind of made our took a little bit of the best pieces of everything we've learned and made our own system.
Yeah, made our own system, and just how we like to do things here as well. So mm-hmm. there's some fresh stuff in there too. We didn't take everything.
No, it took the best pieces, and yeah, we created our own to a certain degree for a lot of it. But yeah, definitely unique. Nobody else has a Prosper operating system
for sure. Yeah, we're thinking about maybe you know, creating a generic version and getting that out there to our community as far as like our students and stuff, but maybe not. I don't know.
What do you think about this?
Questionable.
Okay.
It's just so loud. Like,
and why is it so loud? Annoying? Well, like, that is a very, like, annoying.
Stomping on the table.
Well, I did it twice. You do
a lot more than twice. They probably add up to the same amount of decibels.
Stop it. There's no decibel math going on. So the operating system is something that we're launching this year, and I do think it'll be something we will get somewhat of a public facing, whether we write like a handbook about it and release it, or give it away, or sell it, or give it to our people in our community. But I think that's a 25 thing, not just because we're busy, but because I think we're going to change quite mm-hmm. a few things actually implementing the system that we created.
Yeah, for sure. There's a great question on here, and I want to get to it. Thanks for this question to your
coach. Thanks, Tyler.
Could someone use pros in their personal life? And this is an interesting one to me, because, you know, while I do think, you know, your personal life and your family need some sort of structure and vision, it's hard. I have found it challenging to implement, you know, business type structures and things and meetings.
Why has that been difficult?
It's just like, I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, the certain phrase I got was, you know, our family's not a business.
So I think it's more of our family's not a fucking business, Lucas.
Yeah.
Is that what you got?
Something along those lines. So, you know, I tried
at least you tried. I got yelled at because I didn't even I didn't even try. I had to do PowerPoint presentations to get the clarity.
There you go.
You're good. You did better than I did.
In general, I think there needs to be some sort of organization and structure in your home life, your personal life, but it doesn't have to be a true operating system. Just kind of whatever works best for you. And
yeah, I think so. But I think taking some of the things, and some people can. So
maybe some of the ideas.
And part of our operating system is having, and we got to check with our boys. I doubt they're doing it, but. Part of our operating system is having our main leaders to have a weekly check-in with their significant others. Just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however they want to do it. We didn't force them to do exactly it or any certain style, but just having them talk with their significant other spouse about what's going on in business, how are things, and personal life, just communicate a little bit, because the stronger we are and they are at home, the stronger they'll show up at the office.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. Yeah, I love that. So there is some overlap in that aspect.
Very cool. How are you doing? What do you do for your business part of your personal life?
We set some goals at the beginning of the year. So obviously we're in the new year here. So went out to eat and set a few goals for Ash and I and for the boys and for our family. So nothing crazy. And then we keep it pretty simple. We try to have dinner together every night. We got our routine. We probably do operate off some sort of operating system. Mm-hmm. It's just not documented as strict as maybe what our business is.
Do you guys have weekly meetings, check-ins, things like that?
We don't yet. I don't know. I feel like...
You're making our people do it, but you're not doing it?
Oh, Ash and I do.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. We got it on the calendar for, I think it's 9 or 9:15 every night.
Every night?
No, I'm sorry. Every Sunday.
Yeah, ours is... we just started doing our Sunday at 8.
Nice.
Got it in the calendar, just a little reminder, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Checking in. We're going over our year goals this Sunday.
Well, I love that. Mm-hmm. That's super good. Yeah, that's great, probably because it's beginning of the year, right? But a normal meeting probably, looks like, hey, what do we got coming up this week? Where can I help you? Where can you help me? Where do we need a babysitter mainly? Just logistically to help clean up any of the weird stuff that could go on and cause confusion and friction between you and your significant
and
other.
we're just started ours, so we're working through ours, and we've had some stuff we're gonna be, everybody should make them their own, but what was there a time this week when you felt like I wasn't there for you? Was there a time this week when you were super excited that I did something? And then what we got coming up the week. So we're trying to
go a little deeper. I love it. Yeah.
I'm all about going deeper. Plug earmuffs, Mom, but it's part of my life.
Continue.
All right, on to finance. Dave Ramsey. Actually, I don't think my mom listens to every episode. I think she gets bored with it, but
mine does.
My dad does. Sorry, Colleen and Jeff, don't tell mom about that part. All right, so Dave Ramsey. So obviously, there's this whole thing of everybody dogs on Dave Ramsey. I don't think he's a horrible person by any means. I feel like I have a little more right than some people to dog on him. I probably, honestly, Tyler, we do a Dave Ramsey rebuttal video once a month. We don't even do it that often. But he did call me a liar on his show, and his show gets millions of views. So I don't care. It was awesome. I would wish he would do it again. So it's not, I'm not coming at him from that. But I feel like a little more justified poking at him because he called me a liar. But let's poke his 5 or 7 baby steps to personal finance plan.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little. My history with Dave is a little different than yours.
Correct. It's similar until a certain point.
So I started my my journey and just to financial literacy and investing, and I just love that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when I dove in, I dove in hard and read books and podcasts.
Hard and deep.
Yep. There we go again. And he has, is that a radio show he has? That,
yes, it's radio. It's everywhere. Yeah.
So that's where I heard him, was when I used to travel as an engineer, and it would be on the radio, and I mm-hmm. would listen to it. I would either be listening to an audiobook about personal finance, investing, real estate, whatever, or listening to his show, because people would call in with problems or issues or just guidance from Dave, and they would talk about certain scenarios, and a lot of it was investing, and he has particularly conservative, obviously, ideals around finance, of mm-hmm. course, but I think it was a good foundation for me to understand budgeting, simple principles obviously spend less than you earn, right? Mm-hmm. And where's that money that you're spending going and all that and tracking that? And I did that for a long time, and I think it helped set the foundation for being financially free for the long term for me. So I have, and that, and
but your relationship got closer through the years.
So then Dave and I, you know, then we read his book, Entree Leadership, mm-hmm. which was a solid book.
Yep.
It was probably the book that started to turn me off on him a little mm-hmm. bit though as well. Yes, I don't know how deep I should go.
Well,
on that,
no, I can, but like just the there, and I think this is what, aside from his beliefs and his strategies, I think what turns a lot of people off and what turned me off from him started was just the self-righteousness, the like, if any of my employees are you know, found to be cheating on their husband or wives, they're fired, stuff like that. That's like, you can't do, like, that's just like too much. You're not like fucking God or anything like that. So that's where he started to turn me off a little bit. I think similar with you, right?
Yeah, just a little condescending nature that I saw. And then, I know he built a real estate portfolio at some point, and then the banks called all his notes due, and that's why he got a super bad taste in his mouth on debt. And I would probably fucking too if that happened to me. So
was that not where you were going with the turning off of on him?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Where I was going. And then obviously, yeah, I did that shit with you. So respect him and his business, but at this point in our lives, his strategies are not for us.
No, and it's just my issue with the actual strategy. It's just not realistically replicatable mm-hmm. for anybody but Dave. There's that tweet that I saw like a few months ago now that I loved. It was perfect. It was somebody like all about Dave. Dave Ramsey is worth $500-700 million, whatever it is. He's, you know, going to be the first billionaire with no debt, and they were bragging on it. And then like I would thought like, that's pretty cool. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, that's not cool. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of billionaires in this world. There's millions of multimillionaires, and there's one person that's done it without debt. When there's millions that have done it with debt, do you want to do the thing that one person can do, or do you want to do the thing that 99.99999% of wealthy people do? So it just doesn't make sense for somebody to follow his path if they want to create wealth. And I think this is a great way to say it, and I'm trying not to be condescending. If you want to live a normal life and not have to worry about money and retire at 65, then Dave Ramsey mm-hmm. should be who you should follow to a T. But if you want to live an extraordinary life and have extra money, time freedom, retire when you want, maybe retire in your 50s, maybe earlier, be able to have nice things and enjoy life and not like pinch pennies, then he's not who you should follow. You should mm-hmm. probably follow some of the things that we teach and we do. So it's just a different thing. And I think there's a lot of people that want what we want. And if they follow Dave's path, they're just not going to get there. Let's go nice. Through the seven-step
yeah,
plan here.
Seven
quickly.
Baby steps of, and we'll talk
about. He's calling
about,
you a baby, by the way.
Yeah, we'll talk about each step and figure out. And then we'll just have a conversation on what's your thoughts on each step. So step one, before anything, save $1,000 for your starter emergency fund.
Agreed.
I agree too, and I did it.
Yes.
Yep.
Because he told you to?
Yep.
Lucas.
Well, people need just some path to follow.
I know, I'm kidding. $1,000, that's perfect. I love it.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know what I need to save. I don't know this, that. I don't know what to do first. And he was like, this is what you should do. And he's so convincing about it. And I still believe
yeah,
it to this day.
I was kidding about the Luke thing. I agree 100%. Get $1,000 in as an emergency fund somewhere.
Yeah.
Savings account. Don't touch it.
All right. Step two.
Uh-oh. Here's where we take a little bit of a left turn.
Yeah. Pay off all debt except the house using the debt snowball.
So the debt snowball, I believe, is you pay off in full the lowest, like if you have like credit cards and student loans and whatever has the lowest amount of, left to pay off, you pay that off, and then you pay off the next one, the next one, the next one. I believe that's how it is, which makes sense because it's a snowball. Mm-hmm. I'm going to create the debt snowball of wealth.
Yeah.
The more debt you get, the more wealth you create. But anyways, I think,
same
again,
principles,
again that's okay, but like – a lot of people, if you're gonna pay off your car that costs you $500 a month, like you could invest that $500 a month and make a lot of money.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. And yeah, I think there's certain debts to pay off, and if you have consistent, outstanding credit card debt, like
I think credit, yeah, you get I think that out if it's going to affect your credit score, yeah. that's maybe the line I would draw yeah. in the sand. If you if it's going to affect your credit score, mm-hmm. then and negatively affect your credit score, then pay it off as soon as possible. But your student loan making payments every month, your yeah. car making payments every month, that's not affecting your credit score. If anything, it can strengthen your credit score.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. I think this is different for everybody. I would look at your budget for sure and see where you're at, see where your extra money is. If that's where you want to put it, great. If you think that money that your extra disposable income every month is better suited in another investment vehicle, I think that's good. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think if you have an interest rate that's, let's say, 8% or above, you know, that's similar to what you're going to get in most investment strategies. So maybe that's one you go attack, but definitely like a 20% credit card. But if you got a 3% house or car payment, like 3% interest on a car, I would not necessarily recommend paying that off. And same thing goes with student loans in my eyes as well.
Financial security and wealth are created like over time, mm-hmm. right? Like you need assets with equity to create wealth. Yeah. We're not talking like living until you're, you know, retiring at 65. We're talking yeah. like substantial asset-based wealth comes over time as for assets sure. grow in value. So this is where my biggest issue with it is, assuming you want that, assuming you want financial security and wealth through assets, you can't, I don't believe, have enough time to create that wealth if you're paying everything else off. If you have 50 grand of student loans, two, you know, $40,000 car payments, you know, so you have, what is that, 120 grand? Is that right?
Sure.
130 grand, I think. I have 130 grand of this debt that Dave tells you to pay off, and you're making 60 grand a year, 70 grand a year. It's going to take you several years. So if you're 25 and you have 130 grand in that type of debt at decent interest rates, you're not going to pay it off until you're 45,
yeah.
35. Like it's going to take you 10, 15, 20 years to pay it off. When then you start to buy assets, when what I'm telling you to do is make those payments, don't affect your credit, start to buy assets now. Yeah. So you're going to get in the game too late if your goal is financial freedom.
For sure. I would rather, and we'll get to some of these steps in the future here, or in the
near future.
So say you have, I don't know, a student loan that's $50,000 left on it, mm-hmm. and you got $70,000 in your account.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and your monthly income is definitely exceeding your monthly expenses with that student loan payment in there, I would rather have the 70 grand cash in my account and continue chipping away at the monthly payment personally.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, diminish your reserve funds so much to a point where you're running so thin just to pay off debt, that's not super smart to me either. I think that cushion is more important than the debt payoff personally.
And part of the issue is, now move on to step three with this whole plan, and you'll get to it as we go through the plan, is his plan is like saving, living frugally, penny pinching, don't spend extra money, don't buy the coffee, don't like. And I know there's more to life than like spending money on things, but it's nice to be able to spend money on things. So like his plan, in my opinion, part of it doesn't really allow you to enjoy life until you're at step seven. And I want to enjoy life step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 and retire early. Like his plan is not a have your cake and eat it too plan. And mm-hmm. there is a financial have your cake and eat it too plan, and it's leveraging debt.
Yeah, I think you can do number seven along the way of all
we're
this.
We're doing number seven.
Specifically with real estate.
We're doing
real
number seven.
Real estate's the way to do it when you're able to buy discounted properties and not have to have large chunks of money to put down towards investments. That's why real estate is so powerful, and that's why we were able to do it on step one and two of this.
And then before we get to step three, last thing, you mentioned having enough money to pay off your debt but not paying off your debt with the money you have. That's what companies do. Like, I haven't seen Apple's books recently. I know they had kind of a rough year, but in general, I've seen them before over the past several years. And most of the time in general, they're sitting on $200 billion in cash and $100 billion in debt. So Apple, I think they're smart, and I know they're a business and you're not a business, so I'm just trying to have somewhat correlation here. They can pay off their debt twice and they don't, because yeah. they understand what debt can do if it's leveraged properly.
If it's smart, and if that's at a 2 or 3% interest, yeah, that makes no sense.
They're probably not paying much interest on their debt.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Right, I would guess too. Yeah. yeah.
Cool. Step
Pretty
three,
solid
Wells.
Borrowers.
Yes, step three.
Save three.
Oh, Barclay did just downgrade them, I believe, which crushed their stock. But
save 3 to 6 months of expenses in a fully funded emergency fund.
I think just fully cashed, I would say. Like,
I agree with that one.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And again, I think some, I don't, like, that's the thing. These are, you can do that while you're buying a rental or flipping house. So you can do some of this too. It's good to have money in reserves in case shit happens. So I think that's fine. But what he's saying is literally he's saying you have to do this and nothing else.
Yeah.
So that's step three. So have some, have your $1,000 emergency starter fund. Pay off all your debts except your house. Step three is, you know, have your expenses for 3 to 6 months now.
So if you're in, know your, like, step one should be build a budget to me. Like, understand what your monthly expenses are and understand if you're in the red or in the black every month and figure out ways to get in the black. Step one to me. So if your expenses are $5,000 a month, let's say, 3 to 6 months would be $15,000. $30,000 sitting in a checking or saving account for emergency fund. There are things that are emergencies out there. So if you have that money, an emergency comes up, make sure you use that money for it, and then you can always rebuild it later. That's what that money is for. Otherwise, it's just going to sit there and do nothing.
Agreed. All right. So that was pretty simple. So step four, invest 15%. So part of this is, we're at step four. Some people will take decades to get to step four.
Yeah.
And now we are investing.
Yeah.
We're not investing up until this point. We're not making any money. I guess 401k, but like 401k, maybe if your employee matches, he doesn't. But you're investing $0 in your future until you get to step four, which will, some people will be in their 40s.
And to me, the big, you know, this is all saving and budgeting, which is great, but there's a whole other piece of this equation which needs to be to increase your active income.
Increase the top line.
Yeah. So that could be whatever. We have many podcasts about what that could be, with side hustles or investments or promotions, whatever that looks like. But big piece of that, probably bigger piece than the money you save personally.
Maybe you should do, like, once a month, the 72-hour thing.
Yeah, you like it? Mm-hmm. You like it?
Yeah, well, no, not when you say it like that.
No,
stop it. All right, step five, save for your children's college fund. So I do.
Four we're on, Sammy.
Step four, 15% of your household income. Yeah, so yeah, you're right. So step 15% of your household income. I guess, yeah, we need to finish the thought. But my issue with that is it's going to take people years to start investing. And you have to invest, whether you are the stock market guy and you're putting money in, you know, mutual funds or just straight stocks or whatever you're doing, you're not doing anything until step four.
And 15% to me is just like pretty arbitrary. You know, it could be
depends how much you make, you know.
Depends how much you make.
If you're making a couple hundred thousand dollars and your low expenses, you should be doing 30%, but if you're making 50 grand, then 50% still might be a lot
for sure. So pretty arbitrary there. I don't mind it. It's just I think there's a lot of different investment strategies that could go along with that, and that is just like very surface level in my eyes. So.
Correct. Yeah. So I don't think it's bad, but what our process is, and maybe we should come up with like opposite seven step thing, but it's.
Yeah, we should.
But it's you can do this stuff throughout the process. Like we're this to me, and I know I keep whatever dogging on it, but fuck it. It's like, this is that either or like type of like mindset.
And that's Dave.
Yeah. And our mindset is both and. Like you can have both this and that. You don't have to pick.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, now.
Step five.
Save for your children's college fund.
Well, hopefully they're not 18 by this time.
That's the other part about it. Yes, that's a good point.
Because when you start that early, then it has obviously a much, much better chance to grow to a point where you can actually use it. Side note, not everybody goes to college, first of all. So, there are some great college saving plans out there that you don't, the penalties have been lessened and you can roll them over to a Roth IRA nowadays.
I think they're going to continue to be lessened from the sound of people we've been talking to.
That's really good, because that's kind of the direction our society's heading, I feel like.
Yep. So I think saving for your children's college fund is not a bad thing.
Right.
You know, you got scholarships and I think your parents paid for a little bit, but you had student loans and things like that. I was fortunate enough to not have my parents pay for my college, and I got scholarships as well. I think half ride maybe. So I was able to not have to leave college with any debt, which was awesome. So I like this. I think some people are like, I'm going to make my kids pay for their own college, and I think that's fine if you can't afford it. But if you can afford it, I think you should pay for your kids, your own kids' college. Like there's someone in our office is a friends with, you're friends with for a long time, that he had to pay for majority of his college when his parents could very much afford it. So I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, I think there's other ways to build those type of life skills than putting your child through hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. But yeah, most of mine was paid for, like you said.
But you had some, and so did Ashley come out.
I did have some, yeah.
And Courtney didn't have any either, which is
interesting. And we did not do the debt snowball on ours.
We started making good money, so we paid it off.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So we focused on increasing the income, and then we were at a point where we could utilize some of those reserves to just pay off the whole chunk. So we never made a payment above the minimum until we just paid it off.
And the cool thing about that process of increasing your top line to then chunk things off is when the things are chunked off, then you got you saved 50 grand and paid off your student loans in 2 years. Next couple of years, you got an extra 50 grand.
Can I tell you another way? The reason why I really don't like the debt snowball.
Kenny, Tyler, is that okay? I was good with it.
So you can pay no matter what type
your
of debt it is.
Not in your ear even close to right.
Are you doubled up today?
I'm always doubled up.
Damn, bro. All right,
keep
slick.
Going. Finish your thought.
So no matter what the debt is on, whether it's a car, house, student loan, if you make extra payments towards the principal value, obviously you're paying that principal down, but that minimum payment stays the same. Mm-hmm. So whether you have a $100,000 loan balance and then you pay that down to $5,000 at some point, that payment is still the same along the way, the whole way, mm-hmm. for most part.
Yes. No, oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah. You're right.
You don't save money in your pocket by making these extra payments in the long run. So might as well just spend the minimum, save it up, then pay it off so you have no payment.
I agree. I like that. And then step six, pay off your home early.
I fucking hate that one.
Yeah, that one's a bad one. Yeah. And
maybe if interest rates grow to 9, 10, 11, 12, 15%, maybe. I got a house in 3.25%. I'm not paying it off. No fucking way.
And I just don't understand where people are getting all this money, especially Dave's core audience. I would like to see the case studies because we have case studies. I would love to see. I get people calling and say, I've heard and seen the clips of, I'm 39 and I have no debt and make this much money a year. And they just they had done some of it themselves, but they weren't following this exact process.
For sure.
People are debt free that don't even know, don't follow Dave's plan. So that it's not like he owns the no debt.
Yeah.
But the paying off from early, where are people getting all this money with inflation today? You're gonna have to make a couple $100,000 a year to do all of this.
More than that.
To get to sex, you just a couple drinks. No, all right. So step six, I think to get to that in your 40s, we're not talking retire, just get all this stuff. You're gonna have to make a couple $100,000 a year. People don't make that, and the cost of everything. So my plan is for normal people that don't make a ton of money to skip ahead to step seven. So
excuse me.
Whoa, that was right in the mic. Did you hear that, Tyler?
Yeah, let's I've got a lot of water in me. So anyway, geez, old peas. So okay, pay off your home early.
The lack of food starting to catch up.
It is. Yeah, I'm getting a little sleepy. No, just joking. But just for an example,
wake up.
I have.
I got him.
Shade.
We should do that to Jaden.
I'm going to use my personal house as an example.
Do it.
Okay. Just high level, super high level here. So, I own about $500,000. My house is worth double that.
Mm-hmm.
I have about a $3,000 mortgage payment, right? And I make decent income every single month. So the $3,000 mortgage payment is not
a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. I still have a lot of disposable income. So I can live like that, make the $3,000 payment, still start paying down the principal, obviously, because that's part of that payment, and go take that other money, that disposable income, and go live or go invest or do whatever I want with it. Or I save every single freaking penny of that leftover until I get $550,000.
And then pay it off.
Who knows when that could be, like you said.
And for a lot of people, it's going to be years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is not a way to do things. If you're super scared of debt and you're super scared of the world and you are okay to pinch pennies and retire at 65, then do this. This is awesome. It gives you simple steps to do it. But if you want more out of life, and you want to do what step seven is, which is build wealth and give.
Years later.
Yeah, you're going to be 62 years old, and you're going to start building your wealth when you could have done it 40 years earlier. So not a huge fan of the plan. I've seen it before, but as we kind of go through it again, I'm sure there's like incremental steps in between, but they're pretty open-ended and not ideal.
For sure.
Not the Burrs method. That's for fucking sure.
That's for damn sure, Prim.
Mm-hmm. Word to your mother. Anything else you got?
We dove deep on Dave there a little bit.
Deep and hard.
Deeper than we thought. So
that's a new area for you.
Questionable.
How many awkward pauses could we have? All right. Speaking of awkward, let's get into Jeffrey Epstein. So anyways, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but we do want to get to like current topics because the majority of people listen to the episode the day or two it comes out, and then they don't fucking listen again or share it with a friend. Right. So pretty big news, though. Obviously, there's some pretty big names, and I don't want to go too much into it, but everybody knows Jeffrey Epstein, the disgusting human being that he was. But the crazy part about his disgustingness was he had his webs in so much of society and so many wealthy people. And so a lot of people on this list that was just released are like people that like know him. Like we're not going to go. Let's just talk about the two presidents that are on there. And I didn't hate Bill when he was president, but Bill's stuff is a little more like relate, like on the plane and talk of girls and things like that. And the like Trump stuff, and we're not like going hardcore Trump here, is more of like he knew him. And like, I don't think like they're not all, everybody named here is not people that like were on his island with him. These are just people he associated with. I don't know if you knew that part of it or not, but
I haven't followed it too much, but I can just read these names and kind of see the differences between some of them.
Yeah, like Leonardo DiCaprio's on here. Just he knew him because they were
Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
Yeah, they ran into circles together, but like nobody's saying like Leonardo DiCaprio did anything wrong. They're like, well, did Bill? Maybe not, but like certain people, they're not saying they did. And Stephen Hawking, did you see that podcast with that guy?
No.
Oh gosh, you know that the redhead guy from Dave?
Uh-huh.
And like his Asian buddy, they do that hilarious podcast. Gosh, they were going at the Stephen Hawking thing, and he was doing like the impression of him, and he's like,
oh no,
get me to your island. Like, he was I'm not doing it, but it was rough.
Those guys.
They can't pull that off. We cannot pull that off.
Yeah. So yeah, quite the list of names. You want to name them off?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. I mean, it's public data. We're not like ousting anything, but like the crazy ones to me.
Yeah, we don't have any insider knowledge.
No, the crazy ones to me that I think, from my understanding, just following it and having my wife send me TikToks about it from actual news sources, which who knows how legit those are the people that are like the big names that are actually, I think, like known to like maybe get into what he was getting into. And that is the Prince Andrews, who was the son of the Queen Elizabeth and Bill Clinton.
Yep.
And the Donald thing, who knows? Dave Copperfield, I heard, is like a little bit more up, like the close, like he's not responding to comments. Mm. Leo Caprio, I don't think is anything. I don't know that Gore would be either. Hawking's is an interesting one. Stephen Hawking's, Michael Jackson, I would assume was probably involved.
Doesn't matter much anymore.
Yep. Kevin Spacey, I know he had some interesting things go on, so he could. And then George Lucas again. Like, there's, you know, some pretty big names is the interesting thing. Like, I've seen, have you watched documentaries on Epstein? Like, how he made all his money? Like, they're like, he was a normal dude until like his 40s or 50s.
Oh, I watched that one that was out like a while ago. Yeah. Is that the same one that's got retrending, or is that a new one?
There's a couple of them. The one I'm talking about is the one from a couple years ago.
I watched that one.
But it's just wild how he just like managed, like somehow he just basically got dirt on all of them, either through his connections or what he brought them in on, and then was able to make money on all of them. It's wild.
Yeah, it is wild.
It's the only one that's like the only person that's ever like money? Well, it's the only like there's a reason it's not common, because it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's wild. All right, that was it. Riddle me. This is the fun part. This is where we're gonna make shorts out of this, and we're not gonna cut them short. If they're a couple minutes, we're gonna riddle Lucas. So this is where I try to stump Lucas. All right, Lucas, ready for three riddles? He usually gets one right, one wrong, and one maybe.
Oh boy.
If you throw a white ball into the Red Sea, what will it become?
I'm just gonna say a white ball.
See, that's it's wet. It'll become wet.
Yeah, like not gonna change.
But it's wet. It is changing. It's wet. So that's the maybe. I don't think that's the right one, because it's, you throw a ball into a sea. What is it? It's wet. So it's not like the colors, I think, just throw you off.
You're wet.
Not right now. All right. What kind of band never plays music? I think he'll get this one.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I know the answer. I'm going to say what it also could be, but I think I know.
Showing off now.
I think it could be like a choir.
Okay.
Because they don't play music. They're all vocal.
Okay.
Right? That's not necessarily playing music.
Okay.
Or a cappella group.
Okay.
I guess they kind of, but the correct answer is a rubber band.
Yes. You got that one right. Yeah. That still does. You still got the first one was your iffy. Now, are you going to get this next one?
Dude, have you seen how long it is?
I haven't. I'm looking now.
It's so long. Like, that's what you she know said. Things I have to think about for all this right. one?
I exist only in the future, but am always approaching. So I exist only in the future, but I'm always approaching you. I can be chased, but you can never catch me. I have no size, yet I can fill the grandest room. What am I? For to try to help you a little bit, don't even worry about the no size, grandest room. So I exist only in the future, but I'm always approaching. I can be chased, but never caught.
So something in the future, it's not tangible. So I, like my mind goes to like a, not death, but like a goal. Or is that on this?
No, I'm not surprised you didn't get this one because you get these, but I think you're going to be like, damn it.
Yeah, I think I could get this one if I had some time to
it's
think.
It's tomorrow.
Mm, yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
You don't think so? It's no. In the future, always approaching. You can never get
maybe,
there.
Maybe. Like, I was thinking always, like this idea of the future.
I get where you're going, but like it's always tomorrow. It's never like you never actually reach tomorrow because yeah. you reach it today kind of thing. So I, that one.
When I thought
he wasn't too mean.
Dreams is kind of the other word I had in my head. I can be chased.
Chasing dreams, yeah, but
I
never caught.
I don't know how to chase tomorrow, but I know chase the dreams. I guess you can catch your dreams.
Yeah, and chase. So yeah, it's that. this was a nicer one though. He's been more.
No, that's good.
He's been much rougher on you.
So
than
so I got a maybe. I'm that.
This was follow the path. Maybe yes and no.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
I usually go 3 for 3 on true or false.
No, you don't. You have a 50-50 chance of getting every one.
But mine are purposely deceitful. Yours give you hints. Mine try to deceive.
No.
Mine are purposely trying to deceive you. Yours are giving you hints to try to give you get it. They're different.
Well, if it's perfectly trying to deceive you, then just guess the other thing.
But that's part of the deception. They're purposely deceiving, could you making you think that.
Hmm. Oh, boy. You're overthinking it. True or false, Sam? Bees have 5 eyes.
Real quick, Tyler, do you get like excited to see our answer to these because you know them and you're like, what the fuck are they going to say? Okay. All right. Bees have 5 eyes. That would be false.
You know that's false. They have 3.
3, I was going to say. They got that 1, 2, 3 punch.
Bah, bah, bah.
They do like, bah, bah, bah. Do bees die when they sting you?
They do.
Is that a real thing?
Yes, that's
every
a real
kind
thing.
Of bee or just specific kinds
not
of
like bees? Sweat bees. Like honeybees though, for sure.
Do they sting you because they're really mad at you? They like
yeah. That's why they. That's why if you don't mess with them, they don't sting you. Whereas wasps will just.
Do they
sting
know
your
they're
ass.
Gonna die when they sting you? You think
they do? Well, that's a good question.
Right?
How would I
mean,
know?
I know bees are really.
I think
smart.
They do. That's why they don't sting you all the time.
Bees are really freaking smart.
They have to be very
and
committed.
So are ants.
Very committed if they're gonna sting you.
Yeah, they
must.
Like,
you must did something real
like
bad.
Like kamikaze style.
Yeah, it's like a whole their whole half of their body is yeah. their stinger.
And they're sticking it in you.
Yeah, and it just comes off.
And it hurts a little bit, and then they're dead. Like, you lost that bee.
Yeah, you lost that battle, unless you're allergic.
Yes, then both lost. There's a no-win. There's no win-win scenario there. All right, go ahead.
All right, there are more trees on Earth than stars in the Milky Way.
That is a good one, and there is no fucking way, no.
Well, what about that intentional, deceitful thing?
It could be, but I've been watching that that thing. There's, I mean, I guess you can plant more trees, but there you also cut trees down. So I don't know what the net positive of trees on the Earth are, but
yeah.
There are so many stars in the galaxies. I think there's more grains of sand. There's that's more stars than grains
yeah.
of sand.
That's the analogy that I heard. So there's got to be more grains of sand than there is tree. There are trees, right?
I think right.
So then, therefore, more stars than there are trees. You are correct. That
well,
that
just that this is interesting. We should do like if we have like maybe one of our topics for the new show should be like obscure. Like by the way, we're creating this whole new show. We should talk about every episode to get people hyped for it. Anyways, we'll do that at the end. But like there's so many stars out there, it is insane. That Ancient Apocalypse. Watch it, Netflix. You'd have to watch it.
I don't have to do
well,
anything.
You should. You have to do certain things.
Usually when people tell me I have to do something, I don't do it.
You have to not watch it.
Okay.
You can't
I'll
watch
check
it.
It out. I
you
gotta
can't
watch it.
It. You can't. You're not strong enough.
Okay. All right. Last one. True or false? China recently surpassed.
Oh, come on, T-York. He laid them up for me.
Recently surpassed the United States for the world's largest economy.
China recently passed United States for the world's largest economy. Boy, went 3 for 3. That is false.
Yep, you are correct. As of 2024, the United States still leads China by almost $10
trillion it's not even
in
close,
GDP
really.
And $67,000 in GDP per capita.
And so the whole China-U.S. thing is China's in more debt than the U.S. per GDP.
So you should like them better than the United States.
Well, no, that's my point is like they're we're so much further ahead of our economy than theirs. And our I think it's like $10 trillion more, whatever, Lucas. But I think it's like 26 and or 24 and 14. So it's like it's not like 90 and 10, 90 and 100. It's like 40% more. Mm-hmm. You know, that 10 million is on a lower number. So I think it's or 10 trillion. So it's a lot.
Yeah. Hey, productivity, bro.
Well, fucking.
That's what we do.
California's got the fifth biggest economy in the world, just the California, out of all countries.
Apple's bigger than France.
Yes, there you go. That is interesting. That was a fun one. You did good there, and I beat you as always.
Great job. You deserve to win that
one. We've known each other since we were about 9 or 10. I think I've been beating you for about 30, 25 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so would you rather, Lucas, would you rather spend a day playing video games or board games with your family?
I think I want to pick video games.
Okay. I kind of thought you would.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm going board games.
What would you play? Which ones?
I think just if it's all day, you're going to play everything from Monopoly to Pictionary. It's just more interactive. Yeah. And I never was big into video games at all. I didn't know last time I think we talked, you played like Halo and stuff. Like I played like a little bit of Madden here and there, but not a ton. And then, like you interact way more video games and things, or interact way more personally in you know actual board games. And my family doesn't even play video games, so it'd be really weird.
Cool.
All right,
yeah,
you go.
I'm gonna go video games. I'm
okay with that.
I haven't played a video game in like 15 years, but then my son started to get interested in it. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been a way for us to like connect, and we can all play Mario Kart and jump on. And there is a lot of interaction there, I would think, but maybe not as much as a board game because you're not like staring.
Well, yeah, that's if you're doing like Wii Bowling or something, yeah, or like that. There is, but I that Wii Bowling is probably the only video game I've played in the last 20 years. Yeah. So. All right.
Cool. All right. Would you rather? Okay, if you had to eat Jell-O or spaghetti with your hands, which one would you pick? Would you rather eat Jell-O with your hands or spaghetti?
Probably
with your
Jell-O. I feel like you can take chunks of Jell-O, eat it, kind of clean the fingers a little bit. Go, but spaghetti,
I do eat Jell-O with my hands.
Yeah,
a good old fashioned Jell-O shot.
Yeah, you just suck and lip and throw it back. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so done. It has been done.
And Jell-O shots are kind of a thing around here.
Yeah,
for events.
Yeah,
like right. It seems like once a month, Robin's in our fucking kitchen up here making Jell-O shots.
For sure. Yeah. Spaghetti would be a mess. Like I just picturing that Elf scene.
Yep.
Where he's just like got all the syrup and Pop Tarts and candy and just shoving it in his mouth.
And then he like actually like eats some of it like for like the it's part of the movie, but it's all real stuff. He like puts it in his mouth and like kind of swallows and adds more.
Yeah. Because like,
when he
it does look good right
when
now.
When he drinks
to me,
the soda, it's obviously going down the side of him, but that he's actually eating, which is funny.
I would eat that right
People
now.
Are probably dying watching
so
that.
So hungry.
You will, yeah, right now you would eat it.
I would eat it. I would eat both with my hands.
Would you eat what Elf ate?
Absolutely.
Wolf early, with the stuff on it.
Yeah.
So spaghetti, syrup, chocolate.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Pop-Tarts.
I'm not saying I would eat it, but right now in my head.
If it was like no food or this.
I could taste it in my mouth right now, and I feel like it would be good.
Your mouth watering a little bit?
Yeah.
Take a drink. All right, I'll go last one because I think I'm up. Would you rather have a lot of mouth stuff? Would you rather have a mouth that could only open for an hour a day or only be able to sleep one hour a day?
Gosh.
Both of those suck. I like the fun either one. These would both suck.
These would suck. Depressing. I don't think you can survive off an hour a day.
So you're
sleep.
Saying, so you'd
you
be
would
logical,
die.
You would die. So you'd rather live than die?
Live. And but what would you spend? How would you navigate that hour a day open?
I love you, love you, love you. Tell people you love and then get the work done and then just...
A lot of texting, a lot of text communication or hand signaling.
Oh, and the other thing is today with AI technology, spend an hour recording yourself, go through technology, you can type things out and it will sound just like
there
you're
you
talking
go.
To people.
That would help. I was thinking like eating too. I don't know if that counts, but like you just hook up some, like you'd have to wear like a feeding tube just to get efficient.
See, I don't like the negative ones. It makes me sad. Both of those would suck. I would obviously want to live, and I would only open my mouth for an hour a day.
Yeah, same here.
What happens if you got a cold, though, and your nose is clogged up? Die.
Oh, you're talking about breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a mouth breather anyway, so.
So you would.
You would need like a straw.
What? But that's your mouth's open then.
No, it's not. It's closed around the straw. It's just got a hole.
Well, then you wouldn't need a
feeding tube. Same with the feeding tube.
Yeah, so I was thinking feeding tube like your belly.
Oh, straight to it, huh?
Uh-huh, that's what a lot of people do.
Yikes.
Not a lot of people. People have to have that done, dude.
That would be way better, actually.
In your belly?
Yeah, you just sticking out of your mouth all day.
Well, either way, you're not going to have a good life.
No, both these lives suck.
Yeah, they do. I feel very fortunate.
You're so dark, Tyler.
It's dark and breeding. No, we got to get the motivation first. I'll just... Oh, what? Oh, Shane wrote that one? Shane. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, dark man.
Dark Shane. Dark 20-year-old Shane. All right, so Lucas.
Yeah.
Never... This is the Motivation Monday. I did it again. Sponsored by... Samchat.io. Go to Samchat.io, and it's our brains, because you're on a lot of YouTube videos with me at the beginning. It's our brains in AI, and you can ask it any question, and it will give you any answer. It's ran through OpenAI, and it's based on thousands of hours of YouTube videos. So nice. Go check it out, Samchat.io.
Very cool.
Cool. All right, Lucas.
Yeah.
Never be limited by other people's limiting imaginations.
Yeah, I think that's – I like that. I think gosh, there's and this could go a lot of different ways. Like surround yourself with positive people, right? You don't want to be in an environment where people are always talking about what they can't do and mm-hmm. can't accomplish. You know, we want to be around people like us that we're always talking about, hey, what can we do? What can we build? This is possible. But that can definitely rub off on you, no doubt. I think. In no matter the strongest person in the world mentally, that would rub off on if they get a consistent dose of people's limited imaginations. So to me, step one is just to have that be limited in your life mm-hmm. and to surround yourself with people that don't have limited imaginations and they fucking imagine with you because it's fun.
Yeah, and like I think people that have limiting beliefs in like what you can do, if you understand that their limiting belief is what they're like, it's based on their experiences, what they think they can do. It's not really based on what you can do anyway, so you shouldn't really take their opinion. Does that make sense? Like if like, oh, you can't do that, the only reason they would say that is because they don't think they
of
can
course
do that.
So yeah, that's it's nothing a reflection on themselves.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. It's a reflection on themselves. So let's talk about the podcast we got, or the new show we got coming out, and then I'll fuck with Jaden. So we are going to make this a show. I'm super excited. Lucas knows a little bit about it. We're still hammering out the details, but we are going to make this like a show. It's going to be a mixture. You ready? What's a mixture of, Lucas? It's a mixture. It's a real estate and entrepreneurship version of Colin Cowherd Show, Pat McAfee Show, and what was the other one, Tyler, we were talking about a little bit? Cowherd, McAfee, and then it was somebody. I don't think it was a sports person, but anyways. Anyways, it's going to be like a show where there's segments. There's going to be, I think we're going to do like an hour and a half every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I don't hope Lucas will be able to be there for all of it, at least the majority of it. But we're going to have segments and people and sponsorships. We're going to have guests. We're going to have, you know, a ton of like, we're going to be on like the whiteboard. We're going to be streaming live on YouTube. We're going to put it on podcast platforms that day. We're going to do like best of, and it's going to be an hour and a half. So we're going to have a ton of content. We're going to like have guests, and we're going to like have, like I said, the whiteboard up. We're going to do current topic things. We're going to mix sports and business together, and we're going to like almost like ESPN interview style with people with like little boxes. There's going to be a stat line across the bottom, so we're going to make it a damn thing, and I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of work and effort, but it's going to, our short form content is going to come from it. And this podcast, I think it's fun and good, and people that are watching it are enjoying it, but it's just not growing. Like it's fun to do, and I appreciate every single person listening. I really do, but it gets 50 views, 100 views, and like 800 listens or 500. It's a lot of work and energy for, you know,
for
less
sure.
than 1,000 listens an episode. So I think we have to up our game to get to that
exactly.
next level.
It's just part of what we do. We're on episode 145 right now.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, give or take, right? So, and to look at where the show is now compared to where it was on episode one, it's just a huge transformation, and we're going to continue to do that.
Just that next level. We're always like, we're in our lives and businesses, we're in like growth mode, and that's what this next thing is. Growth is going to be a lot of extra energy and effort. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Looking forward to it.
Be good. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a lot of fun. So you think he'll hear it? Should I get him? All right, just in case you're wondering, I'm going to like pretend to like be mad at Lucas and see what Jaden does, because he's very reactive. You got him?
Is that what you? I thought you were. I didn't know you were pretending to be mad at me. I thought it was some other thing that you.
Well, should I not pretend to be mad at you?
Or maybe just I don't know.
Because like that would like.
Or freak, maybe like both of us even.
That like, would be like freak him out. Yeah. As opposed to like me being mad at somebody on my phone. So
I'll just be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you fucking kidding me? Good lord, that's fucking. He's not even looking, demon. All right, well,
no one heard us. I guess they're just so used to you.
Yeah, I guess, screaming. All right, that failed. We'll do it next time.
Dude, you're going to break something.
Did that fall off?
All right, well, Sam's mic dropped. He threw a whole bunch of stuff here in the podcast studio. No one paid attention
to it. We'll try it next time. I slammed the table earlier and people looked.
You just spit.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere.
I slammed the table earlier and everybody looked. Maybe I should slam the table next time.
All right, let's not try it again. How about that?
So never again?
Nah, we're gonna put it to that one.
All right, we tried.
All right, see ya.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.